I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A. And we are very happy to welcome back to our studios today Emily Havoc, who has a brand new album out. Welcome, Emily.
Hi, Christine. Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's great to have you. And you have one of your band members. I know the rest of the band is coming up for the show tonight at Blacklist, right?
Correct. Yep. They're mostly working right now, unfortunately.
That's the way it goes. But you brought Alyssa Mezdal with you.
Yeah.
Welcome,
hi.
Alyssa.
Yep. Happy to be here.
And she's got a fiddle here, so we're going to have guitar
sure
and
does.
Fiddle. Nice. Well, congratulations on the new album.
Thank you.
I guess I'd forgotten the first one was an EP, or the previous one.
It was an EP and it was all acoustic, so it felt like a very different endeavor this time.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll talk more about that, but right now, what do you want to start with here?
We're going to start with a song called Fool's Gold. It is about the California Gold Rush.
Havoc live from Studio A, and a tune from her new album with her band The 35s. That's Ease Back is the album, and that was Fool's Gold. Was there a particular story that inspired that song?
You know, I watched a documentary about the California Gold Rush, and the thing that really stuck out to me, I was suddenly like, I need to write a song about this. This is so fascinating. And it was kind of coming into my head, you know, as this tune. But the thing that was so fascinating to me was to think about being a woman in that time frame and being in a situation where this great excitement and kind of communal, like, group adventure was happening and you were being left behind. And not only that, but left behind trying to take care of a family, losing your partner, and then not knowing if they would come back. And just the kind of particular pain of that side of the equation. I think we hear a lot about the people who went, you know, digging for gold. But I found it really interesting to think about. And I was thinking about how frustrated I would be. I would want to go dig for gold, probably, but then I wouldn't want to die. So, still a dilemma.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really cool. That's our perspective on that situation, that we don't think about that often. So that's a great idea. And it's funny because I was thinking as I was prepping for this interview that I think of you as you write a lot of personal songs, mm-hmm. like based on your personal experiences. So that's great that you started with a song that is completely not.
Yeah.
Is that something that has come more as you've progressed as a songwriter, or have you always kind of had other people's stories in your music? Or
I think once in a while my personal songs are based off of another person's story, but they still are written as personal songs. And so, it was kind of a new thing for me, and it's something I'm wanting to try more. I think when you write enough, as you progress, you start getting sick of your own experiences, right? Like, there's only so much you can say about how you're feeling. And so I think I'm trying to learn to enter other worlds and write from those perspectives.
Do you do anything in particular to try to do that? Do you kind of give yourself challenges or anything like that with songwriting?
Yeah, you know, one thing that I've been trying, and this is thanks to, I live in Minneapolis now, and there's a songwriting group on social media that has a keyword prompt every week. And I know a lot of writers use that. I think I always thought of that as pretty cliche. I didn't want, or like a cop out. And I find it so inspiring because it just gives you that one little seed of something to focus that creativity around. And it's funny how all the songwriters, you'll have the same word, but every song ends up so different. Because once you start writing with your own personal kind of viewpoint, it just it's so unique, you know, to the songwriter. So mm-hmm. that's been a good challenge.
Cool. Well, I think when you were last year, it was a couple of years ago, you were already talking about writing new material, even though you had just released, I think, your EP. Did any of that end up on this album?
Yeah, I think that pretty much the whole album is songs from the last 2 years. So the oldest ones would be stuff that I wrote around when we were releasing that, mm-hmm. Pretty much exactly 2 years ago now. So. And then some of them are more, probably the most recent one by the time everything was said and done. I think there's one we added to the album that I had just written. It's called Live and Left. And it's more of a full band banger, so we won't play it today, but you can hear it tonight at Blacklist. But yeah, a lot of them are a little more recent. And then we recorded in June, so nothing is newer than June.
And man, the description of the recording makes me want to say, hey, will you invite me next time you're recording an album, Emily?
Because you can come.
You recorded at in a cabin at mm-hmm. on the Lester River. Tell me about that. Whose cabin? How did and like kids and dogs and I want to hear more.
It was pretty wonderful. So it's my parents' friend's cabin. They graciously allowed us to use it. And so we just kind of trucked out. A lot of us, you know, we're all working other jobs, and a lot of my band members have kids. And so we decided we kind of wanted to make it a getaway, right? And make it something that wasn't stressful, where we're paying for the studio time and we're having to go into the city. So we actually, our sound engineer, Jason McGlone, trucked in all of his gear, and we pretty much just created a studio in the cabin. And honestly, I copied this idea from the Fontenelles. That's how they recorded their last album, which is still not out, guys. Please,
which is Dave Mayling's band.
Please, can you put that out?
And they're playing tomorrow with, I think, at your CD release show down in the Twin Cities,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. And so Jason McGlone is their drummer for the Fontenelles. He engineered the whole album, and he and Dave Mayling, who's their front man, really produced it as well. They lent all of their creativity and ideas and helped us really tighten the songs, I think, and make the album better. And then Dave played 10 instruments on it.
Nice.
Yeah. Do you, you want to say anything about the cabin?
No, yeah.
Trying to get Alyssa to talk. Sorry.
No, it was great. It was, there were, like you said, dogs and kids running all over the place and babies and food and family members coming and going. And So even though it was a focused, you know, this focused studio time, it was also, there was also a lot going on around it. So that made it really special and just a fun memory for us as a band as well.
Well, and your band is kind of split between Duluth and Minneapolis, mm-hmm. so it must be have been nice to spend that time together. So who's in the who's down in the cities? Who's up here?
So Alyssa Mesdahl here on the fiddle is here in Duluth. So are Lisa and Brian Wentworth, Luke Myro and Matt Preuss. Luke's on drums, Matt's on bass. And so pretty much the whole band is here. I'm in Minneapolis. And then Dave Mayling is in Minneapolis and Jason is. And so, I mean, Jason doesn't play with us, but he has engineered everything. And Dave and I play together a lot of times as a duo lately when I book stuff in the cities that, I you know, it's tough to get the whole band there very often. And so, yeah, we're kind of split up. So it was very special for us to get to not only make music together, but just be together and have like this weekend away. It was really special.
Has everybody on here, have they been in the band from the beginning or are there any new folks in there?
Pretty much. Okay. I mean, by the time, yeah, we started playing together, our first show with this group was Homegrown, like, oh my gosh.
Maybe
2000, yeah.
More.
I think longer, 2011 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we've pretty much been together since then. So it's a really special thing to find musicians that can stick with a project that long.
Well, let's hear another tune. What do you want to play next?
Let's do the title track off the album. This is Ease Back. And can I shamelessly promote that we have released a video for this today? And you can find it on our Facebook page and our YouTube channel.
Please do. And what are the addresses for? Well, I guess Facebook.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Just search Emily Havoc and the 35s. And then if you search that in YouTube, you'll find it as well.
And it's H-A-A-V-I-K.
Correct. And Michelle Truax shot this for us. She's really amazing. So we shot it at the cabin where we recorded. So it's close to our hearts.
So damn cold, I can't feel you anymore, and I'm so damn tired, feels like my tired is sore. I'm so damn worn, we've been working to the bone, but you call my name, boy, and it gets me to shore. It's been some winter, there was black ice on the rocks, and the cold was a killer. We couldn't even warm our hearts, and time was frozen. So we skated on by like the moment was the rest of our lives. So your voice ringing through the frozen air and steely white pines. It must be nice to have no wrongs left to right, but you can ease back, baby. You can ease your way past the fear. I can't remember this river still and fast, gets harder to see her. Put in the choice in your hands, and I know it's simple. Someone new would be nice, but you've been swinging for the rest of your life. So honey, your way past the fear. set in sense. But not the wicked things we've done. We'll watch our children get older. Make bets we can never, I say never, afford. And we ease it on back. Throw you in and let your voice ring. Frozen in.
Emily Havoc live from Studio A, and another one from her new album, Ease Back, along with the 35s, her band. Is that because of
I-35? It sure is. That's I drive it a lot.
It's a jam with the band. Tell me about that tune, the title track there.
Ease Back, yeah. You know, it's funny. I've been thinking about this because we shot this video, and we were trying to find a theme for the video. You know, we knew we wanted, like, this winterscape, and we wanted it to be at the cabin where we recorded. But the more I talked through it with Michelle, our videographer, we just kept coming back to this concept of, like, family and kind of how everything we do as a band and the music we make kind of revolves around this family and community. And so we tried to really incorporate that. And I think when I wrote the song, I was thinking of it as a love song. And since I wrote it, I've just slowly seen it more as being about family, you know? And so it was super cool. We got the kids back at the cabin and the dogs, and we kind of just let the chaos happen and tried to show, like, what it really is like for us to make music. You know, it can be more complicated sometimes because we've got a lot of factors going on, but it's, like, also why we do it. And we try to, it brings so much joy, you know, all the people in our lives and the family and the kids. And so we tried to just bring that into the experience of the song. So that's what I think about when I play that song.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it really must be, is a testament to what this particular band must mean to you, that you live a few hours away, but you have chosen to keep this connection and make that effort. Because sometimes it's hard to do that, you know, especially when people have lives and kids and all of that stuff. So,
yeah. Yeah, it can be challenging, and it's also, like, when you find something that special, and it's really like a family, you know? It's just, it's worth a lot of, it's worth a lot of time and a lot of driving.
Well, you're down in the Twin Cities, and you have a regular job mm-hmm. and such, and so how do you fit music into your life?
I fit it where I can. I fit it in the mornings and the evenings. Thankfully, you know, I work in TV, and I work, like, usually evenings or mid shifts. And so I have some really good time in the mornings. This album particularly, I actually trained in as an audio editor, and I edited a lot of the project myself. I don't want that to turn people off. I did a good job. It was, and Jason mixed it. It's not like I, like, engineered the album, but mm-hmm. I did a lot of the nitty gritty work, and I did it in the mornings. So I kind of set up a little station at my apartment, and I just edited the tracks every morning for the last, like, 2 months. So I'm very glad that this album is done, because it means that I have a little break from that. I nice. Can do other things in the mornings.
So you said you trained as that, like, just on your own, at, you know, was it a work thing? Was it?
That's totally separate from work. Jason's kind of training me in a little bit. I'm super interested in the audio engineering. So
great.
He's been teaching me. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we play, we can't book things, like, I can't play every weekend, you know, it's just too much. And so I try to book, like, 1 to 2 shows a month and write when I can. And yeah, it'd be nice to not have to work full time, but also it's so nice to be able to keep this as a passion and not have to rely on it, you know, financially. And so I think that helps me, like, keep those things separate and mm-hmm. really still love the music.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned at the beginning that one difference between this and the first release that you did is that one was a lot more acoustic.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about this one. You were talking last time you were here about learning electric guitar. How's that? Are you incorporating more of that?
Well, actually, I told you before we set up, I found this National guitar in my parents' basement. It's from 1956. And it's like an acoustic electric. And I played that on a lot of the tracks. Honestly, it's not in tip-top shape, so it didn't make every track. We cut it out. Some of them. But, and then I played my electric. I've got an electric that I've been playing the last couple years, and I played that. And then we brought in a lot more electric guitars. We brought in some pedal steel from Lee Martin, was gracious enough to play on some of these tracks for us. He's from Feeding Leroy, and I think he's playing with Kind Country. He's in a lot of different projects right now.
Yeah, sometimes plays with Trampled by Turtles.
He's really wonderful. So he played some pedal steel for us. And then, like I said, Dave Mehling laid down a lot of like synth and organs and keys that added another level. Brian Wentworth, our electric guitar player, has really he has a very distinct mark on this album. I feel like his parts are so creative, and and then we use an electric bass on some of it, and then a stand up. Matt Preuss kind of alternated between those. So yeah, it's really full. When we started mixing, we were like, what? These are there's just way too much going on. Everyone was too excited. So we had to pull out a lot of stuff. But it's better to start with too much.
That
than
really
too little.
Editing of anything like that, it really is the skill. You know, you start with, oh my gosh, let's do all this big stuff, and then knowing where to pull back is really mm-hmm. important.
It's painful. I remember there's one piano chord from Dave Mehling that I was just in love with, and it was kind of dissonant. It was a very Dave Mehling chord, and Jason was like, we need to take that out. It doesn't work. It's too much too early in the song, you know? And I thought about it for 2 days. I woke up thinking about it, sad about it. But then I ended up deciding, he was totally right. So, I don't know. It's funny. You get so attached to the parts. And
mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's a lovely album. It turned out really well. And let's hear another tune. You want to do another one from the album or something else?
Yeah, we'll do, this song is called Shame. This is the last track on the album, and it's basically, the two of us. Lisa Wentworth sings beautiful harmonies on it, and she's not here today. She's at work, but it's a very stripped-down song, so it'll be nice to play with just a duo here. My old one, I seem to think that I can get through anything. You need a friend, someone true, and I still believe in you. But you're getting harder to carry in my wreck of a heart. So do you see a place where we can stop? No, I said I'd stick with you, but I can't be held responsible for this. I didn't know the risk, and it's a shame, shame, shame to leave you this way. Mile 10, I move my feet. You sure are getting heavy. I know you said you never leave. Guess that's true as anything. But you're getting harder to carry in my wreck of a heart. So do you see a place where we can't stop? I know I said I'd stick with you, but I can't be held responsible for this. I didn't know the risk, and it's a shame, shame, shame to leave you this way. I have lost my sense of trying to keep you in my mind.
if you're not part of my Lord, honey, just don't know where you go. But you're getting harder to carry in my wreck of a heart. So do you see a place where we can't stop? I know I said I'd stick with you, but I didn't think I'd have to choose between you and everything. And it's a shame to leave you this way. It's a shame to leave you this way.
Emily Havoc live from Studio A, and that is one from her new album with her band, The 35s. Ease Back is the album, and that was Shame. Well, thank you so much, Emily and Alyssa, for coming in today.
Thank you, Christine. Always so wonderful to be here.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from John Hino and Emma Gilhausen, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs.